You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. This is Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Nurton. Episode 59, And We All Switched. The moment we've all been waiting for. Nintendo announced their next generation console handheld hybrid called the Switch. Is this the console we've been waiting for? Can it revitalize Nintendo and instill confidence and excitement again in its fan base? Stay tuned to find out. And now the show.
Nintendo finally revealed what the NX is. And it might be alarmingly familiar to those of you who follow the show. If you'll recall, in a months ago episode, I outlined exactly what I thought the new Nintendo console would be. And it turns out I was pretty much 100% spot on. The new console is the Nintendo Switch, and it is a hybrid console slash mobile device. Essentially, the console is a tablet that plugs into a TV dock, and you can take it with you and play games wherever you want. We currently don't have any information on battery life or any details like that, but given that the hardware has an NVIDIA Tegra chip in it, we can probably expect somewhere between 6 to 8 hours of battery life.
A custom Tegra chip, to be more specific.
A custom Tegra chip, which I believe is their next generation hardware. I don't think it's the original Tegra X1 that shipped with the Shield tablet. I think it's actually the Tegra X2, which is running on the new Pascal architecture, which is what the GTX 1070 and 1080 are made with. So we're talking about a mobile graphics chip that has probably an insane amount of power behind it. I would probably put it somewhere on par with the GTX 1050 or 1060. It's obviously going to be downclocked for power efficiency, but the number of transistors and the number of GPU cores in there will probably be quite high for a mobile chip. NVIDIA, in a press release, also explained that they've come up with some custom APIs specifically for the Nintendo Switch, a revamped physics engine, and a bunch of other goodies. So I think Nintendo has worked very closely with NVIDIA to create some kind of really easy to use development pipeline for games. Because the Tegra is an ARM chip. And the problem with that is all of the new console architecture is now x86. So PC architecture. So in order to port a game from PS4 or Xbox One over to the Switch, there needs to be some kind of middleware that will change the build target from x86 to ARM and be able to handle that reasonably well. And so what I think NVIDIA did for Nintendo is they probably came up with such a pipeline where you can essentially set the Switch as a build target and it will convert the assembly code from x86 over to ARM to NVIDIA's custom instruction set for the new Tegra chip. I don't know how efficient that'll be. Obviously, they'll be optimizing it for games. I wouldn't expect the Switch to get ports of Xbox or PS4 apps. That'll probably be custom, or Nintendo will do them themselves. I'm not sure exactly what will happen on that side of things, but all the indications seem to suggest that at the very least, the graphics of the Switch will probably be on par with PS4, Xbox One launch titles. Not the later stuff that's been able to push the power of these consoles to their limit. So not, say, an Uncharted 4, but certainly games that look quite good. And obviously it'll be able to run Unity and Unreal Engine 4 and anything that currently runs on mobile architecture.
All good things.
Yeah, like overall, I would say Nintendo has finally gotten it right. A lot of people I've talked to are very excited by this. I mean, the scenario I think I first described is actually going to happen. I am going to be able to sit on a bus and play the new Zelda game. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, I'm interested in the battery life, and there doesn't seem to be much information about this yet, but I'm very curious whether or not the CPUs, I guess they would have to be downclocked when you're not docked to the TV, right? When it's just a mobile device.
Yeah, so The Verge made some keen observations / predictions on that. And I think they might actually be correct about this one. And that is that the screen on the Switch is not actually 1080p, it's 720p. Which would allow them to downclock the processor when it's in mobile mode, meaning use a lot less power and still be able to run graphics for a screen that resolution. And then when it's plugged into the dock, it can actually upclock the chip and be able to push out full 1080p at 60 frames a second. I think that's definitely their target. For the default experience, like, I would say it's more than capable of pushing 1080p 60. And then in mobile mode, it's probably targeting 720p 60. So you'll get a hit to resolution, but because it's mobile, it'll still look extremely sharp because it's a smaller screen, obviously.
What is the size of the screen?
If it's like the NVIDIA Shield, it'll be an 8-inch screen. It could be smaller than that. It might be 7-inch. Obviously, we don't have exact dimensions or specs yet, so it's hard to judge. But just based on the physical size of the device seen in the trailer, with people holding it, it would seem to be roughly the size of an iPad mini. So that could be anywhere between 7 and 8 inches.
It sounds like, I get the impression that they're still expecting that this console will, for the most part, actually, maybe I'm projecting, but I get the feeling that the console will mostly live docked to the TV because that will take full potential, take advantage of the full potential of the console's processing power at, you know, roughly 60 frames per second at 1080p resolution, as opposed to, well, it's the occasional mobile device that you'll play games with, which is good enough. And if you've ever had a DS, that it's clearly going to be an upgrade as far as visuals are concerned, but still not as good as what an iPad could do as far as processing power is concerned, and nowhere near the display quality.
Actually, I think in terms of performance, it'll probably rival the iPad. NVIDIA really isn't messing around with their mobile architecture. The Tegra X1 was quite impressive at its time. So I have no reason to believe that the X2 or whatever custom build they've made for Nintendo is any different, especially due to the fact that it won't be running iOS. It won't be running an entire mobile operating system. It will be optimized entirely for the purpose of playing games, and only a small chunk of the system resources will be dedicated to the overall operating system that lives on top of that.
So it's interesting that you say that that it may rival the performance of an iPad, because that you're not talking about we can't really compare the two, because, well, we could compare them, but I mean, we're not talking about two products on the same level display wise. You just said it's probably going to be 720p when it's running as a tablet. So
which means it'll actually run better. Because the thing is, while the A-series chips are incredibly powerful, they're still having to drive a Retina display. They're still having to, and particularly on the iPad, they're having to drive nearly a 4K display and be able to render graphics on that. So if you have a chip that's roughly as powerful as that running on a 720p screen, you're going to get dramatically better results with higher power efficiency.
I guess the other question too that needs to be factored in is what is the actual PPI of the display, right? Too, I mean, can you have a lower res screen like a 720p with a higher PPI? I'm not a display expert, so I don't know. Can you have like a Retina?
The PPI depends on the physical size of the display, calculated with the on-screen resolution.
Performance-wise, it may be smooth, but it's not going to be as crisp, obviously. It can't be.
It'll be nearly as crisp. So a 720p display on a 7-inch screen is 209 PPI.
That's not that high.
So that's true, but the iPad Pro is 260 PPI or so.
Okay.
So it's not quite Retina, but it's extremely close. Meaning, depending on how far away you hold it, it'll still look relatively sharp.
Right.
It may not be exactly as sharp as an iPad, but
in terms of gaming,
it's close enough.
And it may not be as noticeable once you're, like, if all you're doing is playing games and not reading text, it's probably not going to be that noticeable.
Yeah,
like, you have to look real closely. And wait, what are you going to do? Put your eye an inch away from the display to look for pixels? I mean, yep, you'd have to be mental.
Totally. Got to find all those hidden rupees in the game world, right?
Yeah. I think there's a Pikachu somewhere in this pixel.
Yeah. So, I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's going to look like it's Retina. And by virtue of using a lower resolution, they're going to get better battery life. And they're going to be able to bump the graphics quality up even higher. So altogether, I think we'll end up with a console that can deliver extremely satisfying results, even as you take it with you on the go. I think worst case scenario, it has 6-hour battery life.
And that's not bad. I mean, that's certainly better than my Vita. 100%
screen brightness. Best case scenario, we could be talking 8 hours or more even. I mean, an iPad can run for 10 hours. So it's depending on how hard it pushes the system resources. Again, we could be looking anywhere from 6 to 10 hours, probably, depending how it's been built and what Nintendo chose to prioritize. If they chose to prioritize performance and graphics quality, it might be further towards that 6-hour limit. If they chose to have sort of a balanced approach and go more for battery life so that people can take it with them wherever they go, maybe it's around 7 hours or 8 hours.
To be honest, I mean, even if you get 5 hours, I mean, that'll still be better than what you get on a Vita. I mean, what is the battery life on the current DS? The new one, you know, with the bigger, higher resolution screen. Do we know?
The XL?
Yeah, the XL.
The 3DS XL lasts 3 to 5.5 hours.
It's a pretty broad range.
But that's the previous one. That's the old 3DS XL. The new 3DS XL is rated at 3.5 to 7 hours. And that's when it's running in 3D mode. 7 to 12 hours when it's running in non-3D mode.
So you said that the Switch is optimized for gaming and doesn't run a mobile OS, but are you only going to be able to play games when you detach this thing from the dock? Do you not have a web browser? I mean, can you not do anything else?
I would assume not. This thing isn't going to be running Android. It's going to be running whatever OS Nintendo has. So it'll be some sort of variation of the software that was running on the Wii U. Probably a lot faster, probably a lot sleeker, I would hope.
Well, I mean, clearly for power management reasons, they would have had to do a lot of work there.
Oh, almost certainly. But they're kind of used to that. I mean, handheld is really in their wheelhouse. They've been making handheld devices for a decade.
No, there's
more
no question.
Than a decade.
There's no question about that.
I have a feeling we'll be pleasantly surprised, especially because it doesn't have 3D. Like it doesn't need to do what the 3DS is doing. And that takes a lot of power to begin with. Because looking at this battery life, without 3D, it's 7 to 12 hours. With 3D, it's 3.5 to 7. So that basically cuts it in half. And I don't even think the architecture on the 3DS is even that good. I think it's like some sort of Texas Instruments chip. Like I don't think it's something like...
Well, there's something to be proud of.
Yeah, like it's not anything that modern mobile hardware uses, really. Though chips like that are likely incredibly power efficient.
And cheap.
Yes. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But so far, based on what we know, it should be quite impressive, I think.
NVIDIA did a blog post about the custom chip that they designed for it. And as far as the performance goes, what they're claiming, what they've shown in the video, we don't have anything concrete, obviously, at this time, but I am feeling good about it. Like, I can't even remember the last time I ever felt this positive about a Nintendo product. Just purely from the hardware perspective and for the longevity and life of the platform and for the what developers are going to actually be able to take advantage of in this current generation. So it does give me a lot of hope for the future of Nintendo that they got that foundation solid. I'm hoping that that everything that I'm feeling right now, everything that I'm seeing is actually going to be true, and this is going to be, they're just going to knock it out of the park with this release. I really hope they do. But again, like it's, I don't even remember the last time I got this excited about a Nintendo product.
Yeah, you and everyone else. I mean, I've talked to people who didn't buy the Wii U. They were disappointed with everything Nintendo was doing. And then I asked them about this and they said, wow, I'm actually going to pre-order this. I'm going to get this right away. Just no hesitation about it at all. So I think they've really tapped into something here. And really, like I said previously, this was the only place they could really go. I mean, by doing what they're doing, by making this console the way that it is, they're offering a serious competitive advantage to the other players. I mean, Sony and Microsoft, they're very focused on this extremely high performance 4K living room experience. The PS4 Pro, Project Scorpio, they're all about pushing those pixels onto that 4K TV that most people don't have yet. And then here's Nintendo saying, well, you know what? That's cool and all, but wouldn't you rather take your games with you?
And the answer is yes, of course.
The answer is yes.
That's why we all have iPhones.
Yeah. And so I think they've really tapped into that sort of primal need to not be tethered to something. I mean, we like freedom. We like the opportunity to have freedom. And
we saw this back way, way, way back in the day, because we were never tethered out of, well, it wasn't out of choice. I mean, we did not reasonably have a good way to have a mobile gaming experience 20 something years ago. I mean, look at what Sega tried to do with the Game Gear. I mean, that was a failure with terrible battery life. I mean, do you have any idea how many AA batteries that friggin' behemoth needed? And then most people needed external battery packs just to get through a gaming session, which mounted on your belt. I mean, you look like an idiot.
Yeah, we've talked about that one before.
So, I mean, we're only now getting to the point where, yes, we have the power, we have the ability to miniaturize these components to get them to a point where we have these amazing devices that are super light, super thin, last a long time. And obviously Nintendo is a little late to the game as far as getting something that is competitive on the graphics processing front. But
yeah, but at the same time, I think the use cases that they're championing with this device and the fact that they're kind of standing up and saying, we care about mobile gaming, we want people to play games on the go, it's really kind of an antidote to the kind of gaming that mobile devices have cultivated thus far. I mean, obviously we've had a bunch of lovely indie games released for iOS and Android, but the vast majority are just a bunch of freemium nonsense. So it's going to be interesting to see a console that actually takes mobile gaming seriously and says, we can actually have console quality experiences on a device that you can take with you.
Which is interesting.
That's extremely compelling.
It is very compelling. And obviously Nintendo as a whole seems to be taking, or at least they're taking the initial steps to show that, hey, we recognize that mobile gaming is a big deal. And they're taking steps to rectify those problems by bringing Mario to iOS and Android. And that's a huge deal.
Yeah. And I mean, that to me was kind of a signpost. Like once they announced that, it was like all bets are off. They're totally on board with the idea that mobile is a thing. And the announcement of the Switch just is a further step down that road. I think increasingly, and we'll see if this pans out, for Nintendo, the TV is going to become increasingly vestigial. Like, you'll plug your Switch into the TV when you're at home, but for the, like, I think I disagree with your assertion earlier that primarily it's going to be plugged into the TV. I don't think it will be. I think it'll only be plugged into the TV if you're at home. Otherwise, you're bringing it with you. You're playing those games on the go because there's no CDs involved. It's just like a 3DS. The games are on cartridges. You can pack a bunch of those in your bag and you can switch between them to your heart's content. And people are totally going to go for it. They'll have Zelda. They'll have Mario. They'll have Splatoon, whatever games come out. And it'll all be in their bag and they'll play whatever they feel like playing wherever they are. And
yeah,
then when they get home, they'll plug it into their TV and continue playing.
Sure.
On a bigger screen.
I guess most people, I think you're right. I mean, it's obvious that most people will sacrifice video graphics quality for convenience and mobility. Clearly.
Yeah.
That much is true.
And the thing is, it won't be that much of a degraded experience because the screen will actually be sharper than your HD TV.
Yeah. I do like games. 720p. I do like playing games on mobile devices on the go. It is nice, but to me it's just not the same. You know, I'm just I recognize. Look, I totally recognize I'm in the extreme minority here. I have a big TV. I like, and I have a big sound system, and that you just, there is no substitute for that. And I just feel more immersed in the game. I feel claustrophobic just being on a tiny screen. I like to be in this big open world on a big TV. I know that's not most people.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I think there's something to be said for that too. And I mean, that's why they offered the TV dock. For those times when you really do want a big screen and you really do want your big sound system, it'll be there for that. I think obviously the dock is going to be in the box.
We should actually, let's actually talk about the ergonomics about switching between the TV and on the go, because there's, if we unpack what was shown to us in the video, there's quite a lot going on there.
So yeah, We've spent a lot of time talking about the performance and the chips and all of that. Yeah, we haven't talked about the gameplay yet, the controllers. So the control system that they've come up with, I'd say, is quite ingenious. And I'll get to why in a minute. But they've come up with a controller that they call the Joy-Con, or Joy Controller. And the Joy-Con, it comes in two parts. There's Joy-Con left and Joy-Con right. And I would naturally assume both of those are also in the box when you buy this thing. And the left side has a control stick and a D-pad, which doesn't look like a traditional D-pad. It actually resembles the C-pad from the Nintendo GameCube, which, as everyone knows, is the greatest video game controller ever designed. And then the Joy-Con right has a second control stick and the traditional A, B, X, Y face buttons. Additionally, on the left side, there's a minus button, and on the right side, there's a plus button. And below that, on the left side, there is a square button with a circle in it, which I assume is maybe a menu button. Not entirely clear on the purpose of that one. And then on the right side, there's a home button, which I would assume suspends the game that you're playing and takes you back to the OS menu, just like on the 3DS, which also has a home button. These two halves are wireless. They have rechargeable batteries in them. They can connect wirelessly to the Switch. You can actually hold them hand in hand, kind of like double Wii remotes. It's unclear as of yet whether they have motion controls or not. I would guess that they do, but that information is yet to be revealed. Additionally, the left and right Joy-Cons have L and R 1 and 2 trigger buttons. So you essentially have the full set of controls that the current generation console controllers have. So it's essentially the same number of buttons as the PS4 controller and the Xbox One controller. So if you were porting a next-gen console game over to Switch, you wouldn't have to remap the controls. So they've kind of thrown out the notion of having unique controls. They might have some tricks up their sleeve in this regard. Like I said, I think it'll probably have motion controls, but by default, they have all the buttons that you need for a current gen title. And then the two Joy-Con controllers can also slot in to the Switch tablet when it's undocked. In fact, the video shows several times somebody slotting the Joy-Cons into the left and right sides of the tablet and then removing it from the dock. I'm not sure if that's part of some sort of undocking mechanism, like maybe you have to insert the controllers to detach it. I would bet not. I think you can probably remove it anytime you want. They just did that for the purposes of showing off how it works. And then there's also a more traditional controller grip that you can put the Joy-Cons into. And it forms something that roughly looks like an Xbox GameCube controller mashup. And there are LEDs on that accessory that lead me to believe that it charges the Joy-Cons. So if you're going in for a lengthy gaming session, you would probably want to use this peripheral to keep the controllers powered. And I believe that accessory is called the Joy-Con Grip. And then if you're playing on the TV and you want a more traditional controller, they also have the Nintendo Switch Pro Controller, which is essentially a reskin of the Wii U Pro Controller. So something, again,
which kind is of based on what, the WaveBird somewhat? It reminded me of that.
A little bit. Like I said, it's kind of a Xbox One,
right,
GameCube controller mashup. It's kind of angular like the Xbox controller, but it has similar button mapping and position to the GameCube controller. So yeah, as far as we know, that's the controller input for the Switch. Though, I would not preclude the possibility of there being additional Joy-Con formats that are released in the future. So, because the controllers slot into the tablet, theoretically, they could make any controller they wanted that also slots into the tablet. Somebody on IGN a few months back actually came up with a pretty decent concept image for this. He gave the example of, like in Pokemon Snap, you could have a Joy-Con that has a shutter button to take photos of Pokemon. And he had like three or four other examples. Obviously, that could get kind of weird because then you'd have an infinite number of possible controller configurations depending on what game you want to play. But I think they could probably come up with two or three other variants that might make sense for other game types, potentially, or even some kind of expansion slot sort of functionality. In fact, I could actually see the Switch using those controller grooves to slot into, say, a VR headset. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Would be interesting. I mean, I think it's the next logical thing for Nintendo to jump into. Just like Sony is getting into a decent entry-level virtual reality deal.
Yeah, of course, if the Switch is 720p, that would kind of preclude VR because 720 would be terrible. PlayStation VR is 1080p per eye, and even that isn't great. So, yeah, I think if Nintendo were to do VR, the screen would probably have to be higher res.
I don't think Nintendo is going to get into VR in the next year or so, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think
Nintendo Switch 2 might.
I think if maybe they do something akin to what Sony and Microsoft is doing, where, you know, if the entire industry switches to this whole, well, we're going to do this mid-cycle console upgrade, there's no reason why Nintendo could just upgrade the Tegra chip to the Tegra 2 or whatever NVIDIA builds next year or 2 years from now.
Oh, totally. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. And then you just keep the Joy-Con controllers and the dock, and then you swap out the tablet. And then, I could totally see them doing something like that, kind of going for sort of an Apple model.
That's just got to be the next natural progression for everybody. Nobody wants to wait 8 years. I mean, we've talked about this before, so I'm not going to get into it, but nobody wants to wait 8 years anymore between console releases. You'll die. You will not exist.
Yeah, I think they've probably realized that. I would think we'll see some sort of mid-cycle upgrade for the Switch. It's already going to be extremely decent, but I don't see why.
I wouldn't say just going to be decent. I think this is actually a breakthrough, a big breakthrough for Nintendo, because this is showing...
Well, for Nintendo it is, definitely.
For Nintendo, because this is not... It's not just we took the Wii U shell and threw in a better GPU. This is a total rethink of their entire platform. This is a rethink of how they are going to even make games in the future. The fact that they're even building for iOS and Android... They're showing the world that, hey, yeah, I know we've kept quiet on this for a long time, but you know what? We have been talking about this internally for a long time, and this is exactly what we've wanted to build. It just took a while, and we're sorry it took a while, but now that we have this good, solid foundation to work from and this really neat design, now we can just iterate on this, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, this is Nintendo's iPad. More or less, or their iPod,
it's better
or their
than
iPhone.
An iPad, because the iPad is great, but the iPad is trying to be a multi-purpose productivity device.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not. I mean, yeah, games are great. It's fully capable, but it. I mean, let's face it. I mean, to build the types of rich gaming experiences that we're used to on a console, you're not going to get that with a virtual D-pad on a touchscreen. I mean, those experiences are crappy.
Yeah, almost certainly. And yeah, the iPad isn't optimized for gaming. It's not built for gaming. Gaming is kind of an afterthought to Apple. And for the longest time, it has always been an afterthought to them, even with the Apple TV. By saying that all games had to work with the Siri remote, they basically shot themselves in the foot with that. They had an opportunity to actually make a game console running iOS that people would use, and they blew it. And now here comes Nintendo to drink their milkshake, essentially, because the Switch has incredible build quality for a Nintendo product. The screen on it is clearly glass. The matte plastic looks beautiful. Yeah, like, it's a great-looking piece of hardware, and
I think it looks good, too. And I actually like the whole way it works. The way they presented it in the video and showing all these people in impossibly hilarious situations.
Oh, I know.
Like, I don't know how many people are having those parties together like that on a rooftop on some loft.
Oh, I know. And randomly having a basketball game and then sitting down at a table to then play a virtual basketball game. I'm sure that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Also, I'm sure that Splatoon has become such a crazy esport that they hold underground tournament matches in some sort of labyrinthian stadium.
Well, it shows how much you know, Michael. Location. I mean, the underground Splatoon market, it's massive. You don't even know.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta hit up that underground Squid Stadium.
Yeah, they played on the darknet.
They already have Switch prototypes in the darknet.
I really do want to get a hold of the console to actually try it out, because on the commercial, they make it look really, really easy as far as just physically moving the parts, you know, in and out. I'm talking about like the actual, I guess they call it Joy-Con controllers. Those things, you know, like literally switching them in and out. And I'm just hoping it's as smooth as what they're showing. That's not just some special prototype that is like going to be better than the actual product we get.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it'll probably operate similar to Apple Watch bands. So there will probably be something on the back that you have to hold, and then you just slide it out, and then you can slide it in, and it'll just kind of click. Like, there will be that actual Switch noise. So like throughout the trailer, when they showed the logo of Nintendo Switch. So I think when you slide those in, it'll actually lock with a click. Just like Microsoft Surface kind of has their whole branding around the click noise that happens when you connect a type cover to the Surface. It kind of reminds me of that. So I think I think we'll actually have a satisfying click when you slot those in.
And let's hope the build quality is better than some of the previous things we've had.
Yeah,
because the that Wii U tablet thing, it was so bad.
It's utter garbage. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, this is a company that makes the 3DS, and yet they somehow churned out that. I don't get it. Luckily, it seems that the handheld team was in charge of building the Switch, because it looks a lot more like a DS than it looks like a Wii.
Yes.
So I think they've actually managed to do a really good job here.
Now, have they announced pricing?
No, they have announced nothing. All we know is that it's coming out in March.
Do you have any suspicions as to if it will fall in line with what we have come to expect as far as pricing on Nintendo consoles around the $300 mark, like just under the, undercutting the PS4 and the Xbox.
So I am going to make a bold prediction here, and I am going to say that, and this is in Canadian dollars, mind you, so in the States it'll be less. I'm going to say that it will retail in Canada for $379.
I was guessing $350 because I think what Nintendo wants to do is actually price this slightly higher than the Wii U and say, okay, we're serious this time. This is a premium product.
Yeah. So I think US pricing will probably be $329.
Right. So it'll probably be around the same price as the PS4 Slim model.
Yeah.
So, which is something fine. Like which is that, fine. I mean, it does a lot. I mean, it does a hell of a lot. It does more than the PS4 or the Xbox One. Those things are permanently forever tethered to your living room. You can't take your PS4 with you and play it on the bus.
Yeah. So I think it will actually be $299 US. And the reason I think that is the price of the NVIDIA Shield tablet, which the Switch is arguably based on, is $199 US. So that's direct from NVIDIA, so they're probably not charging a huge profit margin on it. It's kind of designed as reference hardware. So add a comfortable profit margin, add the fact that it's boxed with the controllers and the dock, which is definitely going to have more circuitry in it than just a plastic stand. It's going to have an HDMI port. It's going to have an AC adapter so that you can charge the Switch. So, I mean, assuming in the box you have the Switch tablet, the left and the right Joy-Con controllers, the dock, you add all that up, $299 easily. So I think that's probably the sweet spot.
I think it makes sense. That price makes even more sense if the DS is no longer going to be sold. Like I honestly think those days are numbered for that device.
That's the other big question, because this console is so extremely portable. It's arguably as portable as the DS. So if that's the case, is there going to be another 3DS?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, here's what I think is going to happen. They're going to let the inventory deplete naturally. So that might take, there's probably a lot of inventory left of the DS from what's in the channels and also what's in their warehouses. So I think it's probably reasonable to say that the DS will continue to be in stores available for purchase for the next year, 12 months.
Yeah,
until probably. 2000, easily until December 2017. Now from 2018 and onwards, I don't think Nintendo's ever going to make another DS. I think they'll just let whatever is out there sell, and this is going to be their focus. This is their, you want a mobile device, you buy a Nintendo Switch. You want a living room console, you buy a Nintendo Switch. One product, dual purpose, one platform to develop for. Done.
Yeah, I think that's totally right. It's just going to depend how they do it. I think, they'll probably let it die out. One early indicator would be if they start porting 3DS games to the Switch, or if games that would normally go on the 3DS go on the Switch instead. Obviously, the big landmark title for the 3DS this season is Pokemon Sun and Moon. If we were to see Pokemon Sun and Moon also release on the Switch, that would be a pretty big tell. But I don't think that'll happen, just because that game was designed with the 3DS in mind. I think it would probably be a lot of work to port it, seeing as the Switch just has one screen. But I think we will start to see 2D titles and 2.5D titles make their way to the Switch, games that would have ordinarily been released for the 3DS, and then we'll have to go, So yeah, that'll probably be the early indicator. If we see games released for the Switch where it's like, that probably could have been a 3DS game, but it's on here instead, that'll be the tell. Or it's also entirely possible that we see the types of games that are released for the 3DS sort of fizzle out in favor of more 3D games, potentially. Like, we could see the next version of Pokemon be released on the Switch as a more 3D game, where they basically take it to the next level and it starts to look more like Pokemon Stadium than it does the traditional handheld games.
Right. I mean, we could speculate until the cows come home, but what I would want to see Nintendo do is just really hone their skills on this product and just absolutely laser focus on this one product, because it does have dual purpose. So it's not like they're getting rid of their mobile gaming offering. They have this one product that does both now, presumably well. So why not just concentrate on this and get rid of the fluff that you have? Get rid of the DS. You don't need it.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. It might take a couple of years until it completely evaporates, but I think in a few years from now, everyone's just going to forget about the DS and everyone will be Nintendo Switch all the way.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's definitely the stronger platform at this point. Just in terms of versatility, like, it can do 2.5D games, it can do 3D games, it'll be able to do anything that a developer throws at it, especially on that screen. So why not? Like, you can totally still make an isometric Zelda game on the Switch if you wanted to. Like, I don't think those games will go away. They'll just live on the same platform, finally, as the other stuff. And that's kind of the way it is on PS4 and Xbox One now. You have your crazy AAA titles, and then you have indie games that are more lovingly crafted, have different art directions. So, I mean, we'll definitely see the same thing on the Switch. There'll just be this broad spectrum ecosystem of games for every person, every need or want. Like, you'll just be able to play whatever you want, all on one device.
What's interesting to me is I can't see Sony or Microsoft build something like this, not in the media, at least in the immediate future, just because they're so committed to the Blu-ray format, which has massive, massive, massive storage capacity, right? Like, if you're still buying games on physical media, which a lot of people do, because quite frankly, there are many people that are not fortunate enough to have a lot of bandwidth, or they have very small data caps. They can't afford to download 100 gigabytes worth of video games every month. And so I just don't see Sony or Microsoft changing. Now, doesn't mean that they have to. I don't know. It really depends on what the outcome is as far as the Nintendo Switch is concerned. You know, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, how well is this product actually going to be selling? And if it really does make a dent in Sony and Microsoft's sales, then obviously they'll have to react to that naturally, right? So it'll be an interesting, like, the next couple of years are going to be really interesting, because I think Nintendo really has positioned themselves with something really, really unique that Microsoft and Sony for the short term will not be able to really duplicate without it being a carbon copy of what they've done.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not really in their wheelhouse. I mean, if Sony or Microsoft thought they needed to compete with Nintendo, they would have by now. There's no portable Xbox after all, though I would argue that Microsoft's position is probably that the Surface is their portable Xbox, because obviously now they've got cross-buy for Xbox One titles. So, Quantum Break and now Gears of War 4, you buy it on Xbox One, you get it on Windows 10. So, if you have a Surface, technically you can play those games wherever you want. Obviously, it won't quite look as good because the Surface performance isn't super high. Like, you'd have to run it at low or medium or something, but you're still getting to play a console title on the go. So, I mean, they kind of have that already, and I would say they're probably satisfied with that as a solution, at least in the short term. Maybe that'll change given Nintendo's announcement, and obviously if they do well with it. That's kind of what all this depends on, if people buy the console and if third parties support it. And then Sony, obviously, I think, has fully committed to TV gaming experiences. They've essentially abandoned the Vita, and maybe they're working on another one, maybe, but...
A lot of people don't think so.
Yeah, it's incredibly unlikely.
I mean, they showed their lack of interest based on the fact that where are the first party Vita titles? They don't market the product.
Yeah, it's something that they've tried to do for a while and they just haven't found traction with it. So it's possible that they've essentially given up on it entirely at this point. But I mean, if Nintendo rekindles interest in this space, it's possible that Sony could restart development of a new Vita. I mean, they've done it before, so there's no reason to think they couldn't do it again if there's interest.
Yeah, at that point. And they would have to, I think they tried this in Europe, but it never came to North America, but they really should have a PS4 Vita bundle, like those two products in the same box, right? Because remote play is a thing. Yeah. And they made a lot of improvements, to give Sony credit, to remote play on PS4.
Oh, yeah. Remote play is great. I've been using it from my Mac every now and then, and it works incredibly well when it manages to connect.
Right.
Obviously, I'm trying to play across wherever, like from somewhere else, trying to connect in to my house, but it does mostly work. I have to clock down the resolution and the frame rate, but other than that, it's okay. I think it's just a problem of bandwidth and overall quality of telecoms these days.
That's true. Yeah. And I mean, like, who knows what the networking code is like, right? How it handles that.
Yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, we'd all have fiber and...
Well, I mean, this stuff is very hard to do.
Through it.
Yeah, this stuff is very hard to do. I have heard, just anecdotally, I have heard from other Vita owners that have had very good remote play experiences, not just on their home network, but over Wi-Fi connecting to their PlayStation 4 from home. So like you said, I think more oftentimes than not, it's really just, it's up to the connection that you're on. Like, are you on a very, very strong internet connection wherever you are, be it a coffee shop or at work or at school or wherever, right? You have to have a good connection.
Yeah, from home it works incredibly well. But my example, though, I'm at my boyfriend's place and he has a fairly good Shaw internet connection. Like, he actually has a plan that's slightly better than mine. We're grandfathered in for the 100 kilobit plan. And he got the 120, the new one, mm-hmm. I think.
You mean the 100 megabits per second?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very fast connection.
Yeah, it is extremely fast.
It could be,
I mean,
for you.
It's
I mean,
not
I can't.
Fiber, but
right, I can't say for certain without looking at your setup though. But it could be I know a port triggering issue on your router can make a performance.
Oh,
impact.
I've configured all the stuff on my end.
I think it supports, like, if you have universal plug and play enabled, it should just open the ports it needs.
Yeah, I do. And I've even set custom rules for those ports. And my PS4 is connected to Ethernet,
right.
So it's not on Wi-Fi.
Another thing that can make an impact too, and I haven't tested this, but I don't know if the newer Vita, you know, the one that I'm talking about, the slimmer one that they released to, I think, about 2 years ago now. I don't know if that one is any better with the PS4. And another thing that might make a difference too with performance is the PS4 Slim's much faster gigabit Ethernet stack on it. if you use the right cable, that and like just a combination of all these things might make a difference too.
Yeah, that's possible.
I should actually really test it because I do have an older Vita, but I do have the new PS4 Slim, and I made sure I used a Cat 6A cable plugged directly into my modem. So I am getting a gigabit connection, and I did the bandwidth test on it, and it is fully saturating my connections, upload and download speeds. So that is a massive improvement from what I saw before. I should actually crack out my Vita, which the battery's been dead for months because I don't really play it that often.
Well, hey, pretty soon you'll be too busy with the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
Vita, what's that?
Right. Any closing thoughts?
I think this is essentially the beginning of a new Nintendo. It's going to be interesting to see all the little details get revealed as we get closer to launch. They have said that they're not going to talk about the Switch any more than they already have until the new year. So we will have to wait a few months, unfortunately, before we get more details. But it should be interesting finding out exactly what this thing can do and how long it'll last out of that dock.
You've been listening to The Impromptu on Hologram Radio. I'm Alex Knight, joined by Michael Norn, as always. If you'd like to show your support for the podcast and our network at large, the best way to do that is to become a monthly sustaining donator. You can do that by going to patreon.com/hologramradio today and donate a buck or two or whatever you can part with. It really does help us out and cover our costs. And yes, there are costs in actually making this stuff. You can also subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or your podcast player of choice. In iTunes, though, we sure would appreciate it if you could leave us a rating if you enjoy our show or just want to post something nasty because that's the kind of person you are. Follow the podcast on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu, or you can follow Michael Norton at Zen Impulse, and I am at Zero Distraction. Hit us up on Facebook. Just check us out under Hologram Radio and Instagram. Our username there is Hologram Radio Shows. And of course, if you'd like to send feedback to Michael or myself, you can send that to theimpromptu@hologramradio.org. Yes, that's an email address, people.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.